This is Mark Seltzer.
And this is Jessica Piclo.
Today we thought we'd take a look at the proposed repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy and law for excluding openly gay service members in the military branches. And there's been a lot of activity on this since the State of the Union speech after essentially a year where it wasn't much of a topic.
There has been. You know, I know that there were a lot of progressives and members of the gay and lesbian community who felt let down that President Obama did not act on this within the first year of his term, as he had promised on the campaign trail. But he made it clear in the State of the Union address that this is an important issue for the country and for the military, and he intends to see it through.
The president didn't overplay it in the State of the Union address. He had quite a bit on his agenda. It was a long address. Certainly the economy, the aftermath of changes to the healthcare vision, some of that, and the Massachusetts election. But soon after the president spoke, we had Robert Gates and Admiral Michael Mullen testifying in Congress and coming out pretty strongly in favor of repeal of the law to stop excluding people from military service and removing them. And it seemed to me that the military and the defense under Gates spoke pretty clearly this time that they seek to repeal the law.
A lot has changed, I think, in not only our popular culture, but in the military, the sort of day-to-day reality, which has made this a good political opportunity for the administration and a pragmatic decision on the military's part. We are still engaged in two wars on at least a couple fronts, and by all indications, some of that may expand even some more. And we are at a point where we need good people, and it no longer makes sense to exclude them for this particular reason, much the same way that the military became integrated racially.
Women now serve. There have been a lot of changes in recent times. I think one of the things that I remember, you know, maybe hearing during the last two wars with Afghanistan and Iraq is this need for interpreters, need for experts, and how there were cases of people who were doing their job perfectly, who were a valued member of the service, but because they were discovered to be gay, they were put in the process of being discharged. And I think that that has left a bad taste in the mouth of the, you know, members of the service who want to see the best fulfilling their goals and serving their country and achieving the goals of the military. So things have changed a bit from maybe a more simplistic view of what the ideas were.
I think that also reflects in part the change and the emphasis with this administration towards more of an emphasis on expertise and education, so that it is not just, the military is not just a collective of boots on the ground, but really an entire outfit from the infantry on the front lines to the intelligence and ops, so that all the way through, we need the best people that we can. And this was just getting in the way of making sure that that happened.
Yeah.
That's not to say that the repeal will be easy or that it is something that will happen overnight. But again, I think that this is a function of a pragmatic need winning over what was maybe a politically more difficult decision to make several years ago.
Right. And you point out it requires Congress to act to repeal the law because Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a law on the books. And I believe it was Robert Gates, defense secretary, testifying in Congress. John McCain shot back that he strongly disagreed, and that he didn't believe it made sense to have this year-long process of deciding how it will be best implemented. Instead, he said, you know, it's one thing if the military wants to study this, but it didn't make sense to prejudge it just because the commander-in-chief wants to make this change. So McCain was really questioning it, and to some extent throwing into question whether Congress will go along and change this law. Certainly the Obama administration has not had a lot of luck so far in getting any laws passed through Congress because of the Senate, because of the filibuster, rule and the requirement of Republican support for a legislative agenda.
Well, I think we only need to give Senator McCain a little bit of attention on this. He's taken such a sharp turn to the right in his primary challenge for his Senate seat that he's really sort of speaking out of both sides of his mouth on this issue. To come out against the repeal and to suggest that studying the effects is somehow, irresponsible, I don't want to pay a lot of attention to it because I think that most of the senators, most of Americans see this as a sort of a non-issue to the point where if we need good people, let's have good people and let's not worry about the politics of it. I mean, when you find Senator McCain on the opposite end of an issue as former Vice President Cheney, you know something funny is going on.
That's a good point. And I did hear Cheney speaking on the Sunday morning talk shows, and he was pretty clear that he felt 10, 15 years ago, when he was looking into this issue, that the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the military leaders, did not feel that it was going to go over well in the military, that it might hurt the cohesive military, unit. And he said that this time, times have changed, and he felt persuaded by the fact that the chiefs of the military now are saying that they want to make this change. And so, a way he put it was that he was hesitant to second guess military leaders, but he did think that the times had changed significantly and it probably made sense to change the law. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
It is interesting. And I am by no means a Dick Cheney fan, but I think that he brings an important point to the table, which is as a culture, the military is very much a top-down institution. And if the brass, so to speak, are setting the cultural policy, that the people below them will follow. And if the leadership is calling for a change in culture or says that the culture is at such a point where this kind of change can occur, then we need to pay attention to it.
I think it's interesting because that can really rub people the wrong way. Like I'm sure there are people looking at this more from a progressive rights standpoint, saying that it's outrageous that people who were able and willing to serve were denied that opportunity because of sexual orientation. But it is an interesting balance going into an already established traditional institution with its own culture and saying, well, the nation, the public, the vision of our society has changed and we expect our institutions to reflect that change. It does raise some interesting questions.
It does. And, institutional change is always the last to happen. And it is just a slow process. And the progressives have, I think, been right to push the administration to make this an issue, in part because it was a campaign promise. And I think Obama is enough of a pragmatist that he wouldn't have made it a campaign promise unless there was a cultural will to make it a reality, too. I mean, he is ultimately, I think, what we've seen this last year, very much the practical president. But also that the repeal, besides just the fact that it's going to take an act of Congress, will also take some time. I know the progressives are a little upset about this idea that there will be this study, but there are legal implications in the process of repeal. People have been discharged and as a result have lost benefits and jobs and status within the institution. And so the legal team needs to make sure they understand what's the implication now of saying this policy is no longer in effect and was a de facto mistake, for lack of a better term.
I remember occasionally on public radio, maybe Democracy Now! Or some other situations where people who have been put in the process of being discharged, but who very much wanted to continue their service, express the hope that the law would be changed in time for them to continue. So for a small number of people affected like that, it raises some very interesting questions, whether they will have their discharge proceedings stopped upon the implementation of a new law, or even prior to that new law during this year of study and implementation of possibilities. Also, after the law, if it goes forward, would people be able to re-enlist if they were discharged for that reason? So there are a number of issues that need to be worked out between, Defense Department, legal staff, and the administration before Congress even gets to it, just to make sense of the policy as it will be implemented by the military.
And the Obama administration is smart to have answers to those questions ahead of time. We've seen from previous administrations the error of taking an approach of we'll figure it out as we go. We need those answers because they impact people's lives on a day-to-day basis, and they impact the Treasury to the extent that there are damages claims that stem from some of those actions, if that were to be the case. So like all good policy, it will happen, but it will not happen at the rate, I think, that would please those on the left right now.
You know, you're saying patience, and I think that's interesting for looking at Obama after 1 year and wondering what his presidency will be like. It may take patience to reveal that, because he is certainly slowing down and not starting over literally, but to some extent starting over a legislative vision of what's going to be possible and what kind of bipartisan negotiations will either achieve results or will not. And it doesn't mean that he won't achieve, but it's going to, you know, it's going to require patience for people that had hoped for more change more quickly.
We've seen a lot happen in a year, and it is easy to forget that, in part because expectations were so high and in part because promises were so big. But I think to extend that theme of patience, we have several more years of at least this term, presuming that there is not a second. And a lot has been done, and a lot remains to be done, and it will happen. We may not get everything, and it may not look like what we think it should look like, but ultimately, things are happening. They do not happen at a pace that may be satisfying the 24-hour news cycle.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the president of the United States is supposed to be the most powerful man in the world, the most powerful office in the world. And yet you see with something like Guantanamo and these other issues that there is really a great deal of shared power in our constitutional democracy, and things don't happen quickly no matter who wants it to get done. So it's been a very interesting lesson for this year. And I think, you know, I was reflective on that as Cheney and Biden sparred through the Sunday talk shows, because on the one hand, there were ways where Biden was talking up the continuity, sort of defending the administration based on the continuity with the Bush administration in terms of handling prisoners, in terms of pursuing aggressively the war on terrorism, and in other ways, seeing some specific changes with, for example, Cheney still endorsing enhanced interrogation, saying he would have used waterboarding, wanting to treat all prisoners as enemy combatants. And Biden saying, you know, no, it's not effective. We're not going to do it that way. So clearly there are some dramatic changes that have taken place, and in other areas where things are quite similar. And I think that's to the consternation of some and the relief of others. It's a complicated scenario.
It is a complicated scenario. And I think that the manner in which the Obama administration is handling the terror trials through the criminal justice system presents a really good metaphor for that, because in many ways they are taking a policy approach that is different than how the Bush administration handled it. But many of the legal arguments are exactly the same. And the Obama administration's argument or defense of using the criminal justice system is we need a system that is tried and true, and we have one in the federal court system. We know what to expect. We have hundreds of years of jurisprudence here, which we don't in the military system. So to some extent, it's a very conservative and traditional argument to make, even for those who see it as an outlandish act of sort of liberalism gone awry.
Yeah, I mean, there's some great topics there, and I know we've gone off from Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Maybe that means next week we should take on Guantanamo, military tribunals, and some of those questions. That would be great. I'm just reminded of Sarah Palin's speech to the what are they called? The the group on Saturday night. So it was the protesters.
Oh, yes. The teabaggers?
The tea partiers. Protesters, where she said, we don't want a constitutional law professor. We want a commander in chief.
I know, really.
And I was actually thankful that Dick Cheney was asked about Palin calling for him to step up and take more action, declare war on Iran, do something to make people more confident. Cheney did a nice job of answering, of just reminding us that these are serious issues that have tremendous consequences for the world, for different nations, for soldiers sent into battle, and that politicians cannot make these decisions based on pandering to constituents, and that there's a gravity which is far beyond what Sarah Palin demonstrates. And I thought he put it nicely and, you know, reminded me why, despite his polarizing quality and the intense, you know, distrust of leadership at that level, Cheney was vice president and can, you know, can speak seriously about the issues.
Yeah, you can certainly disagree with the man, but you cannot argue that he is not well informed and entrenched in his ideology. I mean, I think that's why he is the polarizing figure that he is. But he certainly is not one to take any of those issues lightly.
All right. Well, I think we might have covered it for today.
I agree.
On to next week. Should we talk about the other military issues for next week?
I think so.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.